It's amazing when you dig into legal history how you can see these huge foundational principles sort of evolve. And sometimes they come about in these cases that aren't like the big headline grabbers,
Right.
but they're so significant.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're going to be unpacking today. One of those cases that really grappled with racial discrimination on railroads way before the time period most people associate with those battles.
Yeah. And, often when we look at these kind of lesser known cases, it gives us a much richer picture of like what the legal landscape was at that time and really reveals those early attempts to challenge these systems of inequality, even if they were ultimately limited.
Exactly. So today we're taking a deep dive into an 1885 case, Murphy v. Western and ARR.
Okay.
It's cited at 23F637.
Yeah.
Now, I think for a lot of folks, when they think about racial segregation in railroads, the name Plessy v. Ferguson is probably the one that pops into mind first.
Right.
But Murphy actually came a full decade before Plessy.
Wow.
And it tackles similar issues about race and transportation in this really fascinating early way.
Yeah, and it's important to keep in mind the historical context here. We're talking about Reconstruction, a period where, there were huge efforts, but ultimately incomplete efforts to really establish civil rights for Black Americans after the Civil War. So our goal today is to understand how this case challenged those practices on railroads and, began to establish those early legal protections for passengers who are facing this kind of prejudice. But we also need to recognize the limitations of this ruling because it was early on. So we'll be looking at some key parts of this case to try and understand this really pivotal moment.
Okay, so let's set the stage here. The backstory centers on a Black man named Murphy, who, in 1885, purchased a first-class ticket on the Western and Atlantic Railroad. He was going from Dalton, Georgia, to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Okay.
Sounds like a pretty simple trip, right?
Yeah, straightforward.
He's paid for this, premium service. He's expecting, a first-class experience.
Exactly. He's paid for it. He expects a certain level of accommodation, a certain treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. But when he boarded the train and took a seat in what was described as the rear car, the conductor told him that Black passengers were not allowed in that specific car and that he would have to move to a different car
Wow.
solely because of his race.
So he has a first-class ticket, which presumably means he has access to the first-class car,
Right.
and he's being told to move simply because of his race.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting. Murphy, standing up for his rights as a ticketed passenger, refuses to move. And what happens next is honestly shocking. Two white passengers actually forcibly removed him from his seat.
Oh my
We're
God.
talking physical violence here that resulted in actual injury to Mr. Murphy.
Yeah, this is appalling. He paid for this service and is then subjected to assault because of his race. And on top of that, this all happens on a common carrier, which, is an entity that provides a public service and so has this responsibility to the public. This makes the whole incident even worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it gets even worse than that because apparently railroad employees witnessed this entire assault and did nothing to intervene or help Mr. Murphy.
Oh, wow.
They just stood by and watched as he was physically harmed.
That is, I mean, that's pretty indicative of a larger problem, right? Like their inaction, to me at least, suggests that there's an acceptance there
At least.
of this discriminatory treatment,
Yeah.
maybe even an endorsement of it. And it speaks to the kind of deeply ingrained racial biases of the time.
Absolutely. So now the railroad's defense for all of this was, well, it was a bit of a stretch. They claimed that the car Mr. Murphy was sitting in was reserved specifically for ladies and their escorts.
Okay.
As you might imagine, this argument fell apart pretty quickly because, as the record shows, there were no women present in the car at the time of this incident.
Right, it was just a cover.
Yeah, it was a clear attempt to kind of justify what was very clearly a racially motivated decision.
Yeah.
So with all of that as the background, we get to the central legal question in this case.
Yeah.
And the core issue the court had to address was, can a railroad company legally segregate passengers based on their race, particularly when all passengers are paying the same fare for their tickets?
Right. That's the big question, right?
Yes.
What does equality mean when we're talking about public accommodations?
Yeah.
If a business is serving the public and they charge the same price to everyone, can they just deny access or equal treatment based on race?
Exactly. And the court's ruling in Murphy was pretty straightforward on this point.
Mm.
They said that railroads that charge the same fare to everyone have to provide substantially equal accommodations to all passengers.
Substantially equal. That's really important.
Yeah.
The court is saying that the accommodations don't have to be identical, you know, in every little detail, but they can't be significantly worse for one group of people compared to another, especially based on race when they paid the same price for the ticket.
Right. So in the end, the court found the railroad company liable. And this wasn't just for discriminating against Mr. Murphy. It was also for their failure to protect him from the physical harm he suffered at the hands of those other passengers.
Right, because the railroad has this duty of care to ensure the safety of all their passengers, no matter their race. And by not stepping in when Mr. Murphy was assaulted, they clearly failed in that duty.
Okay, so let's break down this decision a little bit more. What was the court's reasoning here? What were the legal principles they based their decision on?
Well, the court's reasoning was based on this idea of equality. They said very clearly that the money of one race has the same value as another, and that money should be able to purchase equal accommodations.
Right.
It's a pretty basic idea of fairness in business.
Yeah. And there are some really powerful quotes from the ruling that really emphasize this point. One that really stands out is, "There is no equality of right when the white man's fare buys luxury and the black man's buys a smoking car."
That's a strong statement, right? There's no way you can call it equal when the accommodations are so different. You know, comfort, cleanliness, desirability. The smoking car back then was not a great place to be.
No, not at all. And as we talked about before, the court also emphasized the railroad's duty of care. They said they were responsible for protecting all their passengers from harm, and that includes harm motivated by racial prejudice.
Right. And they failed to do that when they didn't stop the attack on Mr. Murphy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, here's where things get a little bit tricky. There's this subtle implication in the ruling about segregation itself. They condemn the unequal treatment in this specific case, where, you know, Mr. Murphy had a first-class ticket and was denied a first-class experience.
Right.
But there's this nuance.
Yeah.
The ruling seems to suggest that if the railroad had provided a completely separate but identical car for black passengers with the same level of comfort and everything as the car for white passengers, maybe things would have been different legally.
That's interesting. So you're saying if the Western and Atlantic Railroad had a separate first-class car just for black passengers, the Murphy court might have been okay with that.
That's the question, right?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say for sure, but based on how they worded the ruling and the reasoning, it seems like they might have said yes. Because the main focus of the decision was that the accommodations have to be substantially equal if they're charging the same fare. They were really concerned about the fact that Mr. Murphy didn't get what he paid for, not necessarily about segregation as a whole.
And this is a really important distinction when you think about what happened next in legal history.
Yeah, because this kind of sets the stage for separate but equal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which was later established in Plessy v. Ferguson.
Right.
And it's like Murphy saying, okay, you can have separate accommodations, but they have to be truly equal.
Yeah.
Whereas Plessy then takes that idea of equality and separation as a given, even though we know that true equality in those situations was very rarely actually achieved.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Murphy really emphasized this idea of equal accommodations for equal price.
Right.
And Plessy kind of used that same separate but equal phrase.
Right.
But ultimately it let this system of segregation continue where equal was really just something they said, not something they did.
So this case is from 1885, almost 150 years ago. So why does it still matter today? Why should law students in particular care about Murphy v. Western and AR?
Well, if we zoom out and look at the bigger picture, understanding this case gives you this really important historical context for how civil rights law developed in the U.S. Like we said, this was during Reconstruction when there were these big pushes for civil rights for black Americans. And Murphy shows us that even back then, people were fighting against racial discrimination.
Yeah.
It shows us how the legal system was trying to address these injustices, even if their solutions weren't perfect.
It's also really interesting how Mr. Murphy's lawyers approached the case. They didn't just argue that it was racial discrimination. They also emphasized that he had a first-class ticket and didn't get the service he paid for.
Well, that's clever.
Yeah, it was like a breach of contract argument on top of the discrimination claim.
That's smart, because by bringing in this idea of a broken contract, they could use more general legal principles.
Right.
Instead of just relying on civil rights law, which was still pretty new back then.
So really what this case highlights is that it was one of the first to challenge discriminatory practices in public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And even though its impact on ending segregation was kind of limited later by the Plessy decision, it shows that courts were starting to recognize that systemic inequality based on race wasn't okay.
At least when people were paying the same price for unequal services.
Right. And it makes you think about what substantially equal really means.
Yeah.
You know, the Murphy case shows us that even when the court tries to enforce some kind of equality in a segregated system, it's really hard to achieve true equality when you've got all this power imbalance and prejudice.
It's a good question to think about.
So to wrap things up for our listeners, what's the main thing we want them to take away from our deep dive into Murphy v. Western and ARR?
The big takeaway is this. The Murphy case established this principle that if railroad companies charge everyone the same fare, they have to provide everyone with accommodations that are basically the same in terms of quality, no matter their race.
Right.
And it also emphasized that these companies have a responsibility to protect their passengers from racial discrimination and the harm that can come from it.
Okay, so one last thing for our listeners to think about. As you keep learning about law, think about how the Murphy court tried to balance this idea of separate accommodations with the idea of equality.
Okay.
Think about how this substantially equal standard, while it might have seemed fair in theory, often didn't work out that way in reality.
Yeah.
And actually ended up leading to more legal battles to completely end segregation.
Mm.
Was true equality ever really possible under separate but equal?
Right.
Or was segregation itself just inherently unequal and unjust, no matter how similar the physical spaces were?
That's a really important question to keep in mind as you learn more about the law and how it affects society.
Mm.
It's so helpful to understand these historical legal battles, even the ones that aren't as famous as others, because it gives us context for the fight for justice and equality that's still going on today.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time.
See you later.